All right, how many have your Bibles with you today? Amen. Just hold them up and shake them in the devil's face and tick him off. Go ahead, lift it up there. Amen. Hold it up high. I want you to join me in a text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And I don't know if this is your first time to be here in church, but I'm telling you, everything you see and feel happening here, this is all Jesus, all the presence of the Lord. I'm glad you're here. Amen. We're going to stand in honor of the reading of the word. If you'd stand with me, just read the word. And I just want to tell you something. They had a great one-day camp one day, and I'm looking at all these. Look at all them over there. If you listen, if you're 18 years and younger, you need to come be part of Vertical Youth. If you're 18 and older, come be a part of the young adults ministry here. They had a camp one day, and I know, I just heard that some of the young men, young ladies here, this is your first time to be with us here in church. It was your first time to be at camp one day, and you're here this morning with us. And we want you to know something. You belong here. You're a part of us, and you belong. Jesus loves you, amen? Come on, everybody, make them, tell them how welcome they are to be in the house of God. Amen. All right, so here we go. We're gonna speak 2 Peter verses 1 through 4 out loud, okay? Here we go. Ready? Let's join together. And when we see us and the word you, I want you to put me, because this is about you. And today some of you are gonna, you're gonna unlock it. This is not just gonna be something you repeat. It's gonna come alive in you, and you're gonna open it. Here we go. Ready? And because of his glory and excellence, he has given great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable me to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. This scripture shows you what you should partake in and what you should not partake in. And when you see that word corruption means rotting and decaying, you look at any sphere where Satan has touched something, it rots and decays. And don't you dare blame God for anything that you see corrupt in this world that is rotting or decaying. It has been caused by one thing: humans with a corrupt desire, period. God is good. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about a promise, because we've been talking about come hell or high water, he's going to give us a promise. Now, here's the promise that I'm going to tell you that he's going to give you, because boy, do we need it. Do we need it? It's wisdom. God's promise is to give you wisdom. All right, let's go to James 1:5. We're going to read this one verse out loud, and you just know it's for you. Okay? Here we go. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. When you look in this world, the reason it's corrupt is because human beings are not using God's wisdom. Any corruption, any destruction in your family, anything tearing your family apart, there's human desire, and Satan's behind it, because someone will not listen to the wisdom of God. Somebody once told me, if fish food was brain food, some people need to eat a whale. God is giving you wisdom, and he wants you to ask for it. Amen? So look at your friend beside you and say, God likes a wise guy and a wise girl. Come on, amen? Tell him that, and you can be seated in that. Amen? This morning, I mean. So when you see James using this in this context, read it in the whole context. And this especially refers to God's people that are going under severe trials, attacks, and you're being tested. I promise you that in this room and those of you online, there's some of you that are being so tested in your faith right now that you thought, I'd never dreamed that I'd ever be at this point in my life, my marriage, my home. I can't believe I'm having to go through this. And it seems like I'm always facing these tests and trials. Remember, this is the context in which it's written. And remember, how many know because we're Christians does not mean that we escape tests and trials. The outcome is different when we cling to God's wisdom. And what he's saying here is that God will give you wisdom right now. You know, it doesn't make any difference how old you are when you start asking for this wisdom. He'll give it to you if you ask for it. How many have ever met somebody that is 22 years old and wiser than the 62-year-old that's living in your home? Why do you see that? It's because that wisdom, that maturity is coming because they're seeking the things of God. So when we say wisdom, let me try to give you the best definition of that wisdom that I can give you, okay? Wisdom is insight, understanding, and good judgment used to know the best course of action. That best course of action is when you're on a date or whether you're sitting in a boardroom. It's when you're dealing with child, the firstborn child or the thirdborn child, and they're totally different. It's whether you just got a pay increase or they said, we got to cut back, we're letting some people go in this company. It's whether you're saying, should I marry this person or should I buy this stock? God is saying, you got to understand this, God is saying, wisdom I give you gives you insight, understanding, and good judgment used to know the best course of action. Because the best course of action used on SIP child, firstborn child number one, you're trying to use on the thirdborn and you're failing miserably and you say, why can't you be more like them? And God says, why don't you get my wisdom to show you how to deal with this one over the other one? This is the kind of wisdom and insight God will give you. The wisdom and insight says, my daddy is into aeronautic repair and he wants me to go in the same business and he's telling me I need to go in this business, but God will show you that maybe there's something different and God's called you to be an attorney or to be a pastor or to be a missionary or to be in the services industry and create a great business, but you got to get the wisdom from God, the insight and the good judgment. This is the power of what God does. Now, friends, let me tell you something. He doesn't just give it to Sam, Pastor Sam. Oh, I wish I could be so smart as Pastor Sam. I do too. I'm just joking. Listen, more things happen to me by accident, I promise you. But here's what I want you to know, is that God will give wisdom to anyone in any situation. My situation may be different than yours, but I promise you, if you'll ask, sir, no matter what your situation is, I am telling you, you can have the God kind of wisdom, and that's his promise. Ma'am, it is God's promise to you in any situation, to anyone, and anyone means anyone, he'll give it to you if you'll ask him in faith, believing he'll give it to you. And you know what? Sometimes you go, well, I have the wisdom of God. And so when I say the wisdom of God, you go up here. Oh, so ethereal, the wisdom of God. And it is supernatural. But let me tell you about the wisdom of God. Some people say they have the wisdom of God. They went, oh, you're smarter than everybody. Well, God is smarter than everybody, everyone. But let me just say this. God's supernatural wisdom, I have discovered, is so practical. It's practical. I'm telling you, it's not just for me to learn how to run a church. Let me tell you what it'll do. It'll help me know how to get in the right retirement and the right stock. It'll give me discernment. It'll give me insight. It'll give me wisdom. It'll tell you who to marry and who not to marry. I'm telling you, it is not just about signs and wonders and miracles. He gives you the supernatural wisdom of God to take care of natural, practical things. In fact, the more I study the Bible, and I've been studying it a long time, the more I study the Bible, it is the most practical book in the world that'll show you how to run your life, how to run your business, how to raise your kids, how to deal with marriage, how to deal with your sex life, everything. It will deal with every single issue, your bitterness, your hate, prejudice, anger. It'll deal with all of it. It is the most practical book in the world. How many thank God because you read it? You're just a genius. I thought I'd get a bigger amen than that out of this bunch. I'm trying to help you. In fact, it's not only practical. Do you know what I find? I find that people that are truly led by the Spirit, Now, when someone always has to tell me they're led by the Spirit, usually not. I can tell whether you're led by the Spirit. You know how I know? You're not making stupid decisions. Because the Holy Spirit is practical, and He will not lead you into a dumb decision. And when someone tells me, but the Lord told me, I'm going to say, well, dare I argue with Jehovah, you go right ahead. And when you listen to their decision, they've ignored God, they've ignored wise people of God, and they're going to blame God for their dumb decision because they said they were led by the Spirit. I'm telling you that when you read the Word of God and when you see people truly led by the Spirit, it teaches them how to deal with the most difficult issues and even the most practical situations. How many thank God you serve a God that is not just supernatural? He shows you how to handle the practical things of life. Amen? He shows you how to do that. Because how many know we got tons of knowledge out there? We got some real smart people. But I've met some educated dumb folk. Work with one by chance? Don't nod your head. You're in church. Come on, amen. And don't be doing this, okay? Don't be doing that to me up here, okay? But we have people that have a lot of knowledge, but they have no wisdom. I mean, can you see, have you even just looked in our culture, all these brilliant, bright people doing the most foolish things, believing things. You're going, you got to be kidding me. Are you kidding me? What happens is they have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. And even sometimes the knowledge they have is knowledge that has just been corrupted. I mean, it's good to have knowledge, but come on, how many know wisdom is even better to have when you take knowledge and wisdom? But, you know, it's like they say, you know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting in a fruit salad, right? That's wisdom. We got people that have such high intellect, but have lost the spirit of wisdom because they don't ask God. They don't go to God in faith. I just believe, friends, that as we get closer to the end times, God's people who seek His Spirit and His Word and go after God are going to be seen as the most brilliant, smartest people at PTO meetings, at city councils. They're going to have to sit there and yell and scream. People are going to sit back like a Joseph and say, where did you get that? Where did you get that? And He gives it to anyone in any situation who will just ask, God, how do I handle this situation that's going on between my parents right now? He will give you wisdom now. Anybody who asks. Last time I checked, I'm anyone and you're anyone. How many believe we're going to be smart people that are wise in God? Amen? So if you want it, I got 2 points, all right? 2 points. You ready for this, everybody? Okay, how do we get that wisdom? Number one, when you look at James chapter 1, verse 5, here's the first thing. You got to ask. You just got to ask. Ask. Look what James 5, chapter 1, verse 5 says. He says, if you need wisdom, what's the next word? Ask. Ask what? Our generous God. God's generous. God, did you know that God's up there saying, I wish they would ask me. I've got so much to give them. I got so much to bless. I wish they would ask me. He says, ask our generous God, and what'll do? He'll make you beg for it. He'll make you plead for it. He'll make you fast and pray and stay up at night for it. No, he says, God will give it to you generously if you'll just ask Him. Because how many know that God already knows that we're dumb about some things? How many know that God already knows that Sam Reifkogel needs lots of help? God knows that you lack wisdom. And He says, I'm willing you to give you wisdom and supply you with wisdom in this right now. But you know why God can't give it to some people, even good people that are spiritual, is they think they know it all. They know it all. I'm going to date myself, but everybody thinks they're a Barney Fife. I know it all. I'm going to tell you how to raise kids, but I've never had a child in my life. Isn't that amazing? Why is it the know-it-alls don't know that they're annoying us by acting that they know it all? If you know it all, don't you know you're annoying to everybody? And the main reason people don't receive his wisdom, do you know why? The reason they don't receive his wisdom is they won't admit that I don't know what I'm doing in this situation. They won't admit it. They're so afraid of rejection that I'm failing in my finances, and God, I don't want to ask you or anybody else on how to fix my finances. My marriage is going south, but you will never go to a marriage mentor or call our church to get you a marriage mentor because you don't want to prove to your kids that you can fix all this stuff. You don't want to talk to mom. You don't want to talk to dad. You're going to fix it yourself. And the reason God won't give them wisdom in the house they should purchase or the stock they should buy or who they should date is because they have never sought God one time and said, God, you are so generous. Would you generously supply wisdom to me and bring people alongside me that have your wisdom to show me the best course of action and insight and good judgment? How are we doing this morning? Because I'm going to tell you, but it's same thing with me. I can put together some words for Sunday morning. I can put that together, and I'm going to tell you, you can get good at what you do and become so professional at what you do, singing or doing account and everything, that you don't ever consult God anymore about this. Well, I've already had 3 children. I know how to handle the 4th. My mom had 7. Jesus help her. Amen. But number 6 was just special. I mean, that was a perfect child. Number 6 was special. So special. That special number 6, I tell you, just special, special child. So what do? We start trusting ourselves over God. So you haven't even prayed about what school, what college you should go to. You didn't even pray. You didn't even ask him. You didn't even consulted him. You haven't consulted him. You haven't asked the Lord. Or even that, we go to other people over asking God. And here's what two ways to total failure is take no one's advice and believe everyone's advice. And when you start trusting yourself over God's wisdom, or you trust other people over God's wisdom, and they might be experts in that area, but when you ultimately go to them over God, can I tell you, it has always led me into trouble every single time. And sometimes the problem is you go to people who act like they know it all, but they really don't know it all because they say, I'm an expert at this. And you know what an expert is? X, just take the word, break it apart. X means past tense, has been, and spurt is nothing but a drip under pressure. So really what you have is an old drip under pressure. That's all you got. Just a has-been, old drip under pressure. The worst thing you can ever go is to go to the unknowing for knowledge. And how many people are going to unknowing for knowledge? There's a brilliant parent right there. It's just shocking to me. Can any parent just right now just commiserate with me for a moment? You have sat there for the last 15 years telling them, here's what, They are with their friends 3 seconds that one of the friends happens to give the same advice you have been given the last 15 years. Well, you know what Freddie said? Freddie said, and you and I, we're so good. You know what? That's brilliant. You go do that. Knock it off. He says, the reason why you don't have the wisdom is, he said, just ask. Can you say that? Ask. Can we say that word out loud? Ask. God wants you to ask. He's waiting for you to ask. He said, I'm generously going to supply it. I'll show you about the college. I'll show you about the personal. I'll show you about the stock. I'll show you about the church. Just ask me for the wisdom, and I'll give you. And you know when James wrote that, when you break it down in English, you say ask. Oh, I'll ask. When you read that, James wrote that in the Greek, and in the Greek, it is in the imperative verb. So when he writes this in the imperative verb, he is not going, may I make a recommendation that perhaps you ought to set some time alone to meditate and seek God on this. That is not what he said. It is a command. It is a divine command. He said, I'm not giving you this as a recommendation or a suggestion. I am telling you, if you're going to claim Jesus Christ as Lord, you better ask him. It is mandatory that you seek God's wisdom over everything else. He says, you better do it because everything else is going to bring you absolute failure. And maybe this is the reason why some people don't receive what they ought to receive. It's because James said, and later in James chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Wisdom, healing, provision, direction, ask God, come broken. God, I don't know what to do, and I admit it, and I defer to your wisdom. And he says, and finally, when you do ask, the rest of that scripture he says, you ask with the wrong motive. Well, there's a reason why you're asking with the wrong motive. We'll get that later. But come on, friends, how many know he wants you to ask? But he doesn't want you just to ask. He wants you to ask in faith. That you know that he's the wisest one, and that you know that he's going to generously give it, and that you're going to stay with him and listen to him till you get the answer because he's wisdom. Ask in faith. Look at verse 6. It says, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in who? God alone. Do not waver. He says, you go to God alone. He says, you can hear the advice of great counselors, you can hear pastors, you can listen to podcasts, you can get all your information, but at the end of the day, you better ask God alone. God, you're going to give me wisdom, and I will not waver till you give it, because you said you would give it to me generously in this situation that I'm in right now. So what happens is when we go through severe trials, we turn to human resources rather than singularly trusting the Lord for his answer and his help, that he is the one that will ultimately give us the answer. And I don't know about you, but I do it all the time. I can believe God's word. I know that God loves me. I know that he has grace for me. But I don't ask as if he really does exist, or I act like he doesn't care, or I act like I don't ask because I don't think he's capable of restoring the family, to restoring that body, to restore those finances. I don't ask him. So many people sit there and say, I believe in God, but their behavior is like he doesn't exist because they don't even ask him about it. I can fix this on my own. He says, ask me in faith and don't waver. Don't waver. Look what he said in Hebrews 11:6. We covered this already in one of the teachings. Go back and listen to the other six teachings of come hell or high water. But we covered this. But he says, and without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him, watch this, must believe, number one, that he does exist. And secondly, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Are you hearing this? He says, out of the result of Sam Reifkel and you seeking God, going after him in hot pursuit, he says, what happens is the greater your assurance that he really does exist, because the enemy will come to you and say, if God really loved you, why is this happening? If God really loved you, then why did this occur? If God really loved you, how come he didn't show you this? If God loved you, why did this happen over here? Listen, the more you get with him, the greater your assurance that he exists. And the greater your assurance that he exists, then the greater your anticipation for the reward that he's going to give you. If you will seek him more, you will believe he exists more. And the more you believe he exists, the greater your anticipation that he will give you the wisdom to make the right decision with this child, your career, whatever it is, he will give you that if you'll ask in faith. So everybody, what are we gonna do? We're gonna ask, and we're gonna ask in faith. Amen. Here's the second thing. Why do people not get wisdom? They just don't ask. I'm smart. I've been working in this company 23 years. I know what to do. Ask. Ask him. Ask him. And then look what he says. He needs us not just to ask, but if you want wisdom, you need to align. Align. Can you say that with me? Align. Now I want you to give you this one scripture out of verse 6. Let's read on. He says in James 1:6, he says, do not waver when you ask, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such a person, watch this, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are as unstable in everything they do. They're unstable in everything. Unstable in their relationships, unreliable in the workplace, unreliable in every detail of life. He says, because they don't sell out to God. They don't align with what God says. So sometimes the best way to know what wisdom is to know what is opposite of wisdom. Foolishness. Foolishness is opposite of wisdom. Now, foolishness is not a lack of intelligence.
That's not, listen, foolishness is not a lack of intelligence. It may lack some intelligence, but that is not ultimately what it is, a lack of intelligence. Foolishness is a heart that insists not to align with the one who is wisdom. Only the fool says there is no God. He does not exist, so I have no assurance, so I don't have any anticipation for the future, and my life is unstable. Only a fool says, the scripture says, there is no God. Now, my mama told me not to call anybody a fool, but she sure taught me how to recognize one when I see one. So if you want to know what wisdom is, you need to see the opposite of it. You need to see the opposite. It's a heart that refuses to align with God. It's a heart that refuses to align with his word. It's a heart that refuses to align with the spirit of wisdom that God uses in people. It's refusing to align with what the Holy Spirit is saying that confirms his word. That's what it is. Foolishness is really a heart issue, not an information issue. It's not information, it's your heart. Look at the Pharisees. You remember when the Pharisees criticized Jesus' disciples? You remember? Because they weren't doing the old tradition of ceremonially washing their hands before they ate. You remember that? And Jesus just, Jesus goes wheels off on those Pharisees. He said, oh, you are a trip, man. You are a trip. It's what's inside that's the problem, not the outside that their hands are clean. It's what's on the inside. He said, in fact, you teachers of the law, you religious bunch, here's what happened. You have so missed knowing who I am that you honor me with your lips, and everybody hears you praying and everybody sees you giving your offering, but he says, your heart is nowhere near close to me. He said, it's something in you, not something on the outside. So look what he does in Mark. Look what he does in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. He says, it is what comes from inside and defiles you. For from within, out of a person's what, everybody? Out of their heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality. Now, this is Jesus' words. Sexual immorality. Theft. That it's not just going and taking, you know, just taking your next door neighbor's lawnmower and not telling them. It could be as simple as your IRS return, your tax return. Yes, Lord, they're shouting me down right now. Murder. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, it's as if you murdered him. Adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy. What you have is not good enough. You always got to have somebody else, and you're never satisfied because you don't have what they have. Slander, pride. Watch this. And foolishness. Where did he say those came from? Those come from what is in your heart, not how good you look on the outside. That's what he's saying. He's saying, so the real issue here is foolishness is just a heart that will not align with what God says and who God is. It was on a line. So you say, Pastor, what does God tell us to do? He wants you to align, and he wants you to align two areas of your life. Here it is. Number one, he wants you to align with Jesus Christ. Align with Jesus Christ. Because you've heard me say this a lot about love and peace, that it's not a feeling, it's a person. Can I tell you what wisdom is? Wisdom is not just, it's not information, it is an individual. It is a person in Jesus Christ. So look at 1 Corinthians, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look what he says. He says, for God has united you when you became a believer. He says, he's united you with Christ for our benefit. For our benefit, God made him, Jesus Christ, to be wisdom itself. Jesus Christ isn't information, he is actually wisdom himself. Christ made us right with God, he made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. So here's the line, everybody. Jesus is wisdom. He is not mental assent, he is not just information, he is an individual that is absolute wisdom. And when Sam Reifkogel united himself with Jesus Christ, he said, Sam, you are walking and talking with wisdom itself in every issue. Are you hearing this? How many give your heart to Jesus Christ? Oh, if the person beside you raised their hand, would you just look at them and say, you are so brilliant, it's just scaring me right now. You're just scaring me. You're so brilliant. You're so brilliant because you follow Jesus Christ. And he said, God made Jesus
wisdom himself, and you're a partaker in his divine nature. You share in everything that he is. Why don't we have it? Because we don't ask. We don't ask in faith. So where is wisdom? Everybody's looking for wisdom. Where is wisdom? Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. Look at this. You want wisdom? You want to be brilliant? You want to be smart in every situation, have good judgment? Look what he says. He says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. The world doesn't understand this. They don't believe you get wisdom from following Jesus Christ. Yes, you do. Christ himself, he says, in him, in who? Jesus Christ, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know where that treasure's, you know where wisdom's hidden? It's hidden in Jesus Christ himself. And first and foremost, you want to be a brilliant attorney? Let me tell you, give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him start orchestrating your life. Seek him, and you'll become one of the most brilliant attorneys you've ever met in your life. He says, seek me, hunger after me. Seek for me, hunger after me, study me. Don't study me just to get information. You'll get information about who I am, but know my character, know my nature, know my wisdom. Just study me, God's saying. Go after me, and you will find in Jesus wisdom itself for every situation you go through. Isn't that amazing? But you got to seek for it. You got to dig for it. Do they still put prizes in cereal? Did they stop doing that? They stopped doing. Probably somebody got sued, I'm sure. And But how many remember when they put prizes in? How many remember that? You remember that? And you remember, you know, your parents would tell you, now you got to shake through, you got to eat it, and come in, and you would be obeying all the rules. And then you had that little brother or that little sister that just opened it up and just shoved their whole hand in there and just started going like this till they found that. Yuck, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And you just tick you off. And your parents say, no, no, you're not just going to dig in that. Why do they want you to? Because they know where your nasty fingers have been. You had your whole elbow up your schnoz just a minute ago, and now you got your hand down there trying to go dig in everybody's breakfast. How many can relate? How many know what I'm talking about? You had that one sibling, and it just tick you off. But your parents say, no, 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 no. No, no, no. No, you don't get the prize, and we're throwing the rest of that cereal away. You don't get the prize. What did they want you to do? They wanted you to shake it out. And the one who shook it out the right time, but you got to eat everything around the treasure before you can have it. And some of us are in trouble right now in our finances, and now you want to jump on board and ask God to bail you out. But he says their treasure is there to give you knowledge on how to get out of this. But I want you to eat everything around me till you get that prize. He said, align yourself with him. Go after, hunger, thirst after him. Come on, if a student is too lazy to study, they should not be surprised or complain when they get a big fat red F across their paper. They shouldn't be shocked. They shouldn't be surprised. And if a Christian is too lazy to find out all that Jesus is and all that his love for you and all that has done for you and what he says about your healing and what he says about your finances and what he says about your marriage and what he says about your sex life and what he says about this nation and what he says about your company. If you're not going to hunger and find out what he says about that subject, you should not be surprised if you lack understanding that you need to handle the situation you're in right now. And what's going to happen is there's going to be more anxiety. And if God doesn't perform, there's more bitterness. Oh, listen, I'm not seeking Jesus so he can just rid me of my problem. I want him to give me wisdom so I can say, what are you trying to say to me? Not just make me survive. What are you trying to say to me about your wisdom, Jesus? But we want to go right to the stick our nasty old hands all the way in the cereal. And he says, come on, study, learn. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, it's not up on the screen, it's not in your app, but Matthew 11, 20 says, learn of me. And then he says, you'll find rest. You'll find rest. If you have the wisdom for something, you say, I know what I'm supposed to do. I've got the rest. I've got the rest. I've got the wisdom. I know God shifted me this direction. I'll have the rest. He says, learn of me. And in that, you're going to find rest for your soul. What is your soul? Your soul is, the word is psuche there. It means your psyche, your mind, your will, and your emotions. It encompasses three things. He says, if you'll learn of me, your mind, your will, and your emotions will be intact because you have my divine wisdom that I supernaturally give you for insight, good judgment to deal with this issue. How many say we're going to align with Jesus? Amen. And here's the last thing I got to align with. I got to align with the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit is your best friend? But when you say the Holy Spirit, some of you here for the first time, ooh, the Holy Spirit. Oh, I saw somebody that did something weird in church, man, and they said the Holy Spirit was doing it to them. And that's just weird when you say Holy Spirit. And he says, the Holy Spirit on me. I couldn't control myself. It was the Holy Spirit. That was just weird stuff. No, the Holy Spirit's not weird. That's just a weird person. They're a weirdo. And they say, the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit will make you powerful and practical. And you need to align yourself, not just with Jesus and salvation, but to align yourself with what he said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. It's called the Paraclete, the one who walks alongside. Its name literally, that Paraclete means a counselor. So he gives you wise judgment. It literally means a comforter. So when you're nervous and you're scared and you're panicked, and God, what am I going to do? I just walked out of the doctor's office. There is this comfort that you have because you've been with the one who gives you wisdom. So you got to align with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at John 16 and verse 13. Look what Jesus said. He says, but when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, watch this, he will do what, everybody? He will guide you in what kind of truth? All truth, not just the revelation of Jesus, but what you're navigating right now with your kids, what you're navigating with your spouse, your employer, all these issues. He said, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. Watch this. He will glorify me, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit's getting directly from God the Father, God the Son, revealing it to you. Look at this. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. What is it that he wants to make known to us, everybody? The point here is that the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the riches of all the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is now there. He is the administrator for what I did on the cross to reveal to you all the riches, including the riches of wisdom that are in Jesus Christ. So how do I get this? I got to develop an ongoing relationship with that third person of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I've got to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he's practical, supernatural, but so practical and powerful. So guess what begins to happen? The more I spend time with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the one connecting me with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that brought me to Jesus Christ to be saved. Are you watching this? And so guess what I begin to hear? I can begin to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to me. It may not be an audible voice, but it might be a gentle nudge where I've got this, just this feeling, don't do that, go ahead and do that. That gentle nudge, or it can be a strong impression that I cannot ignore, and I'm going, well, that's a strong impression that I'm supposed to walk through. Or he gives me a warning, Sam, don't do that. He gives me a strong encouragement, go do this. And what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit is the one that causes you and me to share in the divine nature of God Almighty. He gives us the power to share in it. He is the administrator. He wants to administrate love. He wants to administrate forgiveness. He wants to administrate the power of wisdom. He wants to administrate healing. The problem is we don't align ourselves with what the Holy Spirit says. And remember, how many know the Holy Spirit is your friend and he is practical? Remember the people in James, they were going through trials and crisis, and he says, ask me. God says, I'll generously give it to you. I'll show you how to navigate this. And I won't rebuke you for asking, as I know you need it. The problem is you're not admitting you need me. Come to me in this. Holy Spirit, help me to know
what you want me to do in this situation. He'll help you in trials. How many know he'll help you in your career? Do you know that the majority of Americans hate the current job they're in? They hate their job. I love what I get to do. I mean, I love what I get to do. I love it. And he's given you a gift that you ought to love. But now some of us are to a place where we're griping because the other company is outperforming you. And you wish you'd have had that idea they had. But you didn't have the wisdom to get it. Do you know the Holy Spirit is so practical that he will help you in your finances, in your field of career, or the path you want to take? Do you know that? How many want to be better? How many want to be the best that God could ever make you, even in the practical things of your career? Wisdom in it. He can make you wise in that class. Let me show you something, and I'm going to close with this. Moses was getting ready. God told him, I want you to build this tabernacle where my presence can dwell. And God gives him instructions. But Moses is going, well, who do I get? And God starts sending him people. And I want you to see this. God speaks to him, and watch what he says. Exodus 31, verse 1. He said, the Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Look at verse 3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now watch what it does. Giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of craft. The first time, do you know that the book of Acts isn't the first place where you hear see God filling someone with the Holy Spirit? The first time God mentions that he filled someone with the Holy Spirit was in this passage right here. It's the first time that he filled someone with the Holy Spirit. And guess what he fills? He fills a blue-collar worker with the power of the Holy Spirit to give him wisdom in the gift and the trade he gave him. And not just gave him wisdom, but he gave him this ability that was a notch above everybody else and expertise in other kinds of places. Do you really want to be good at what you want to be? Do you really want to be, I believe that it ought to be a believer that finds the cure for cancer. That is the weakest amen. I believe it ought to be a believer, a Jesus follower that finds the cure for cancer. It ought to be a spirit-filled believer that finds the cure for AIDS. It ought to be a spirit-filled believer that starts rising up in city councils and school boards. It ought to be a spirit-filled believer that becomes city councilors and mayors and governors and presidents and Supreme Court justices. It ought to be spirit-filled believers that fill the halls of Congress. It ought to be spirit-filled believers that are teaching in schools. It ought to be spirit-filled believers that are auto mechanics. It ought to be spirit-filled believers that are construction workers. It ought to be spirit-filled believers that are dentists and attorneys and lawyers. It ought to be spirit-filled believers that are bringing and leading the cutting edge of what God wants to do to show his glory, to heal people, to restore people, to bring peace, to bring unity, to bring justice. It ought to be spirit-filled believers. And he says, I'll put it on you if you'll follow my Spirit. Do you see this, folks?